Fiat. February 24th, 1935. Reason, the eye of the soul, is the light that makes the creature know the beauty of her good works, what the rights of the divine will are, how in it there are no intentions, but acts. I'm always in the arms of the divine will. And although amid the intense bitternesses of the privations of my sweet Jesus, which more than sea inundate my poor soul, its light is inaccessible, and it is not given to me to be able to enclose it completely into my soul or to comprehend it. It never leaves me. Even more, surpassing the sea of my bitternesses, it makes use of them as victory and conquest it accomplishes over my poor human will. So, I was thinking to myself that all the value, all the good, it seems to me that it is all of the divine will, and nothing is left for me. But while I was thinking this, my sweet Jesus, my dear life, making me his short little visit, all goodness told me, "My blessed daughter, you must know that we endowed the creature with reason, that she might know the good or the evil she would do. And in each act that she would do, if good, she might be endowed with new merit, new grace, new beauty, and greater union with her Creator. If evil, she would suffer the penalty for it, a pain that would make her feel her weakness and her detaching herself from the one who had created her. Reason is the eye of the soul, and the light which, while leading the creature, makes her know the beauty of her good works, the fruits of her sacrifices, and which knows how to torment her when she does evil. Reason possesses this virtue. If the creature does what is good, her reason feels at its place of honor, and as king of the creature, it maintains the order. And by virtue of the merit she acquires, the creature feels strength and peace. Well, if she does evil, she feels all distraught, and a slave of her own evils. Now, if the creature does her good acts in my divine will, by virtue of the reason she possesses, we give her the merit of the divine acts. Merit is given to her according to her knowledge and depending on how her human will wants to operate. If it wants to operate in our will, it rises so high, living down below the plane of the human actions, however good. But, brother, coming into our divine volition, like a sponge, it plunges itself into it and remains soaked with its acts of light, of sanctity, of love, in such a way that its act disappears within our own, while our divine act appears anew. Therefore, by justice, divine merit must flow in it. And since all human prestige is lost in our divine will, it may seem that the creature has done nothing, but that is not true. If our will operates, it is by virtue of the thread of the human will it has received into its hands, which forms its triumph and its conquests over the act of the creature, as well as by virtue of the human reason, which voluntarily comes to surrender the rights received as homage and submission to the one from whom it had received. And this is more than doing, because God has received the requital of the most beautiful gifts He gave to the creature, that is, reason and the will. With these, the creature gives us everything she can give us. She recognizes us. She strips herself of herself. She loves us with pure love. And our love is so great that we clothe her with ourselves. We give her our works in such a way that we and she can say, "Let us do this together." We will put ourselves in a condition such that the creature will not be able to do anything without our will. And our goodness is so great that even when the creature does good in a human way, since reason always runs within any good, we give her the human merit, because it is our usual way not to leave any good act to the creature without its reward. It can be said that we are all eyes over her to see what merit we can give her. After this, he remained silent, and I continue to think of how this divine will is all eyes over us, loves us so much, and never leaves us for one instant. And my sweet Jesus continued, saying, "My daughter, my divine will is everything for the creature. Without it, she would not be able to live even for 1 minute. All of her acts, motions, and steps can be called spoon-feeding and child-bearing that my will does and the creature receives. She feels them inside of her and does not know either who it is that feeds her and who gives life to her life. So, for many, it is as if my will did not exist for them, and they do not give it the rights due and befitting to it. Therefore, it is necessary to know what these rights of my divine will are, so that, by knowing them, the creatures may requite it and know who it is that gives life to their lives, such that they are nothing but the wrapping or the statues animated by it. Now, its rights are innumerable. Right of creation, right of conservation, of continuous animation. Everything it created and which serves the well-being of man constitutes its right over him. Therefore, the sun, the air, the wind, the water, the earth, and everything have been created and given to man by my will. Hence, as many things as it gave him, so many more are the rights it holds over him. My redemption, the forgiveness after sin, my grace, the upright operating, are greater rights it acquires over him. It can be said that the creature is as though kneaded within my will. Yet, it is not known. What sorrow not to be recognized. Now, in order to obtain the triumph, the life of my will in the creature, it is necessary for her to know what it did and what it does for love of her, and what its just rights are. Once she has known this, she will put herself in order with my volition. She will feel who it is that gives her life, who moves within her motion, who palpitates inside her heart. And while receiving from my will the life that forms her life, she will give back to it as homage, love, and glory, that very life which my will forms in her. And so will my will receive its rights, receiving back into its womb of light everything that belongs to it, and which, with so much love, it had given to the creature. In sum, it will feel the creature whom it had created with so much love, being reborn anew in its arms. Oh, if all knew the rights of my will, its ardent and constant love, which is such that while it gives her life more than mother, putting her out to the light of day, its jealousy of love is so great that it does not leave her for one instant. It invests her inside and out, above and below, to the right and to the left. And even if the creature does not know it or love it, with divine heroism my will continues to love her and make itself life and bear all the acts of the creature. Oh, my will, you alone know how to love with heroic, strong, incredible, and infinite love the one whom you created and does not even recognize you. Human ingratitude, how great you are. Then I felt I could touch with my own hand the great love of the divine will. And I thought to myself, how can one live in it? Perhaps by always placing the intention of living in it. And my always lovable Jesus added, my good daughter, in the living in my will, there are no intentions. The intention is needed when acts cannot be done, because that which has the virtue of giving life to all the good that the creature wants to do is missing. And this is outside of the living in my will. And to those I give the merit not as acts, but as holy intentions. On the other hand, in my will, there is the vivifying, acting, and operating virtue, in such a way that whatever the creature wants to do, she finds that which forms the life of her acts. She feels the vivifying force that vivifies her act and converts it into works. Therefore, in my will all things change, all things possess the life. Love, prayer, adoration, the good that one wants to do, and all the virtues are full of life, hence not subject to ending or changing, because that which administers life to them keeps them with itself to live life together. And I give them the merit as works animated by my will. What difference between the intention and the works? The intention is symbolized by the poor, the sick, who, being unable to, would want at least with their goodwill to exercise charity, propagate what is good, and do who knows how many beautiful things. However, poverty and infirmity hinder them and render them almost like prisoners, unable to carry out the good that they want. On the other hand, the operating in my divine will is symbolized by the rich man who, having the riches at his disposal, gives no value to any intention, because if he wants to, he can do charity. He can go wherever he wants. He can do good to all. He can help all. Riches in my will are such and so many that the creature gets lost in it, and full-handed she can take whatever she wants in order to help all. And what's more, without clamor or noise, almost like quiet light, She holds out the help and withdraws.